Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, we'll learn how to be courageous.
Did you know that Moses, as great as he is, and he's listed, obviously, in God's Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, he wasn't perfect. He didn't have perfect faith because when God called him, Moses didn't want to go. And Moses ends up arguing with the Lord and arguing with his call. And he doesn't argue once, he doesn't argue twice, he doesn't argue three times. He argues five times that God has got the wrong guy. Now that's an encouragement to all of us, because if God can take a guy like Moses that starts out arguing and turn him into the greatest Old Testament prophet, think what he can do in your life. What he can do in my life if we would learn two words.
And we'll learn what those two words are today on From His Heart. What would happen to a lowly private in the United States Army if he were to argue about a direct order given to him from a four-star general? Well, it wouldn't be pretty, and he wouldn't win the argument. That's why it rarely happens. But when God, who commands the universe, gives us direct orders, why do we often make excuses and argue with him? Welcome to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who today will help us discover the most common, frankly, silly arguments we present to the Lord and what God would have us to learn about arguing with Him. It's an enlightening message entitled, Are You Arguing with God? It's one of four in Pastor Jeff's series, Courageous, How God Shows Up When You Step Up. I'll tell you more about this series in just a bit, or you can go online later at fromhisheart.org. Now, though, open your Bible to Exodus chapter 3 and be ready to realize that it is futile if you are arguing with God.
Did you know that Moses, as great as he is, and he's listed, obviously, in God's Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, he wasn't perfect. He didn't have perfect faith because when God called him, Moses didn't want to go. And Moses ends up arguing with the Lord and arguing with his call. And he doesn't argue once, he doesn't argue twice, he doesn't argue three times. He argues five times that God has got the wrong guy. Now that's an encouragement to all of us, because if God can take a guy like Moses that starts out arguing and turn him into the greatest Old Testament prophet, think what he can do in your life. What he can do in my life if we would learn two words. The goal of this message is to teach you two words. Yes, Lord. Now here is Moses. Moses was born in Egypt. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, raised in Pharaoh's palace. He was a Jew, but Pharaoh was killing babies. And so to protect him, his mother put him in a little basket, wooden basket, and they pushed him out in the Nile River, and Pharaoh's daughter found him, and Pharaoh's daughter raised him. And when Moses was close to 40 years old, he went to visit his brethren, the Jews, and to try and help them. And he ends up killing an Egyptian who was being very cruel to a Jew, and he buried him in the sand. But then it became known that he killed this Egyptian, and Pharaoh tried to go after Moses, and Moses had to hightail it out into the wilderness. And so he's living on the backside of nowhere, and he's been there for 40 years as a shepherd. For 40 years. And the scripture says this, Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Horeb and Sinai are the same place. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. He also said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. They had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land, from that land, to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, all the people that lived in the promised land. And now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Wow. A burning bush experience. Moses sees all this. He hears all this. He experiences God. And then he begins to argue. So I want you to notice the five arguments that he gives, because they're the five arguments that we tend to give. Argument number one is there is the who am I argument. Who am I? Come now, God says, and I will send you to Pharaoh. But Moses said to God, who am I? Verse 11, that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt. Who am I? Oh, Lord, I'm a nothing nobody. You ever say that to the Lord? The Lord tells you to do something and you're like, well, I can't do that. I'm not the guy for that. I'm not the girl for that. Go talk to this person about your faith in Christ. Well, Lord, I can't do that. Who am I to do that? I don't have what it takes to do that. I'm not the person to do that. We do that all the time. Who am I? So God basically says to Moses, his answer to who am I, the who am I argument, God's answer is, who cares who you are? I will be with you. That's what makes the difference, is I'm going to be with you. And that's what he says to Moses in verse 12, certainly I will be with you. And this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship at this mountain, at Mount Sinai. That's where he's going to get the Ten Commandments. I will be with you. It doesn't matter who you are, God says, it matters that I will be with you. Argument number two, there is the I need more info argument. Now, Moses asks a good question here. Then Moses said to God, verse 13, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God gives them an answer, and God's answer is, I am who I am. God gives him the special name of God. Verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. The name I am, or the name Yahweh. Four letters in the Hebrew. YHWH. Now, when we have arguments with God and we're arguing with him, we need to remember who he is. He's the great I am. And we need to remember, as God gives Moses instructions and he tells Moses, this is what's going to happen, Moses. And he gives Moses, from the end of the chapter, he gives him kind of an executive summary on how this thing is going to go down. Because he's the great I am, and this is how the great I am is going to work in that situation. And I love that about God. He just says, you trust me right here. It's just a daily walk. Hey, tomorrow may never come. All you have is today to live for the Lord and to trust the Lord. And so we have the argument, Lord, I need more information. And God says, I am the great I am. You trust me. Argument number three. There is the I'm doubtful this will work argument. Now, God told him this was going to work. In verse 18, he says, and they will pay heed to what you say, the elders of Israel, when he goes to talk to them. And this is what Moses said in chapter 4. He says, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. That's an argument of, I don't think this is going to work, God. Because, you know, he kind of couches it. It sounds like, well, let's just play the what if game, Lord. But his what if game is really rooted in, this isn't going to work. Because those people know that I murdered an Egyptian way back yonder, you know, 40 years ago, and they're still alive. And so they know where I've come from. And now you would appear to me, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would appear to me. That doesn't sound right. And I'm going to come and they're going to say, what have you been smoking, Moses? We're not going to believe you. And so he has that objection of, I don't think this is going to work. How often do we have that objection? I don't think this is going to work. I mean, anytime God asks us things to do, I mean, it just seems like to our human senses that this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. Tithing is a good example. You look at that and you think, this isn't going to work. This doesn't make sense. This can't be. This can't go. God says, leave your job and step out and do this other thing. Go into ministry. Do this thing I'm calling you to do. Change career. Lord, I don't think that's going to work. God says, do it. Yes, Lord. And the Lord says, all right, Moses. He said, now, Jews, the scripture says, they seek for a sign. So God shows Moses, and his answer is basically this. I am able, and here's proof. Lord, I don't think this is going to work. And God says, I am able, and here's proof. What's in your hand? It's my shepherd's staff. Throw it down. Throws it down, turns into a snake. And Moses never knew there was a snake in his staff. And then God says, pick it back up again. Lord, pick it back up by the tail. Lord, have you never seen the crocodile hunter? You don't pick it up by the tail. You got to go back behind the neck. Pick it up by the tail. Yes, Lord. And so he picks it up by the tail. It comes the staff again. And then he tells Moses, he said, Moses, take your hand and stick it inside your cloak and pull it out. Pulls it out. It's white like snow, leprosy. Yikes. He says, put it back in your cloak. He puts it back in, comes back out. It's fine again. He said, I'm going to give you signs, Moses. And if they don't believe the first sign when the staff turns into the snake, they'll believe the second sign when your hand becomes leprous and then the leprosy goes away. And then he said, if they don't believe any of those signs, I'm going to turn the Nile to blood. They're going to believe that. And see, God shows him through his power that he is able. God is able in your life and he's able in my life. There's nothing too difficult for God. And so when God comes up with a plan, promise you, the plan will not seem right to your brain. His plan may seem to you like it can't work. It works. It works. You just keep trusting him. And we look at our lives so often in little snapshots. We evaluate God's plan in our life in snapshots. And we just look at what's happening right now. Well, right now it doesn't look very good, so therefore God's plan must not be working. No, you can't look at things in a snapshot. We can't look at life in just the snapshot. You know what Moses did? When he finally obeyed God and he went to deliver the people, remember what happened? The very first thing that happened, he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And said, okay, Moses, you want to play hardball? I'm going to make your people make bricks without straw, but their quota of bricks is not going to diminish. And man, it became harder for the people of God, and they were angry with Moses, and Moses went before the Lord and said, Lord, why did you send me here? You haven't delivered this people. Now it's worse. I've made things worse. And God said, oh, this is just the way I like it. This is just the way I wanted it, because now I'm going to show forth my glory. Hey, God is able. So the argument that, Lord, this is not going to work, if God is impressing upon your heart something that is true to his word, I promise you he will see it through. You trust the great I am. Argument number four, there is the I am not able argument. Look at verse 10 in the God's Word translation. I like that. Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I'm not a good speaker. I've never been a good speaker." Moses knows enough to know if I'm gonna lead the people, I gotta be able to speak to the people. And I don't speak well, Lord. You know that about me. And so I can't do it. And God says, "I don't call the equipped. I equip the called." And God's answer to Moses is, "I will enable you in your inability." And the Lord said to him in verse 11, "Who has made man's mouth, or who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord, Yahweh? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say." Man, what a promise from God. Now, how many in this room can identify with the fear of public speaking? First time I had to speak and give my testimony when I was in college, it was awful. I was so nervous. My tie, I was wearing a tie. My heart was beating so fast that the bottom of my tie was just banging like that. I was just praying the prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus," you know. Just didn't want to do it because I was so nervous. And it's so cool in my life that God has called me to preach, because you're looking at a guy that is scared to speak in front of people. You say, "I don't believe that." It's true. And the good thing about that is this, that I'm always dependent upon the Lord, because I know that I can't do this. It has to be God doing it through me. Just as he told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness." All the power comes from God. All the strength comes from God. And when you say that I'm not able, God says, "Yeah, but I'm able." Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think, to him be the glory." He is the one who's able. You trust him and he will enable you in your inability. He will give you power. He will give you the words. "I'm not able" doesn't cut it with God, because all the ability comes from God. And if he calls you to do something, he will enable you to do it. Argument number 5. There is the "someone else would be better" argument. But Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, send someone else." Remember what Isaiah said when the Lord appeared to him? "Here I am, Lord, send me." You know what Moses says? "Here I am, Lord, send Aaron. I don't wanna go. I'm not the guy for this. Please, Lord, send somebody else. Somebody else would be better." And that argument was rooted not so much in fear, but in disbelief and in doubt and in disobedience. And the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. And Lord said, "Okay, you know your brother Aaron? He can speak all right. He's not the combination between Mountain Man and King George. Let's get Aaron involved in this, and he'll be your mouthpiece, and he'll be your spokesman, and you'll be like God to him, and I'll speak to you, and you speak to Aaron, and Aaron will speak to the people." When you and I have the argument with the Lord, "Send someone else. Someone else would be better," God's answer is an angry plan B. And God got angry at Moses. And God didn't want to use Aaron. He acquiesced to use Aaron, but that was never God's plan to use Aaron. Aaron became a snare to Moses, because Aaron was the one, when Moses was on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, Aaron was fashioning a golden calf and saying, "Behold your God, O Israel, who delivered you out of Egypt." And then when Moses asked him about it, he said, "Well, I just threw the gold in there and out came this calf." And then he lied about it. And then in Numbers chapter 12, Aaron and Miriam, Moses' sister, begin to murmur about Moses and saying, "Well, has God just spoken to Moses? He's spoken to us too." Caused friction, caused problems. God never intended for Moses to be saddled with Aaron his whole ministry. You don't want plan B. You want plan A, God's plan A. What are the two words we need to learn? Yes, Lord. The Lord comes with a plan. Yes, Lord. I don't understand how this is gonna work, but yes, Lord. Now, I think you can sum up Exodus 3 and 4 this way. It's with the name I Am. You know, Moses' arguments. He says to the Lord, "Well, Lord, I am not able to go." I am not able to do this. And God says, I know, but I am. He says, Lord, I am not a good speaker. And God says, I know, but I am. And Moses says in his heart to the Lord, well, Lord, you know that Pharaoh down there in Egypt, he thinks he's God and I'm not God. And God says, I know, but I am. I am God. And if you will say yes to me, I will fill your life and I will use your life and I will be with you and you will deliver my people in great power and great might. Hey, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And we need to come before the Lord and say, you are the great I am. And what you're asking me to do, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't know how this is going to work, but yes, Lord, I choose you. Who would say amen to that? Some of you are really struggling with this courage thing. You're really struggling with the step of faith. You've had all the arguments, and God's saying, it's time to say yes, Lord.
Is the light of realization going off in your heart and mind of the power of God's presence in your own life, giving you courage to step out in faith? We surely hope so and pray that'll happen. Today, you heard the message, Are You Arguing with God? From Pastor Jeff Shreve's four-lesson series, Courageous, How God Shows Up When You Step Up. Listen, God loves us and has only our best victories ahead as He shows up when we step up in faith. You can get this powerful series online anytime when you go to fromhisheart.org. You can listen to any broadcast from the series there as well, and you can download the sermon notes and outlines from Pastor Jeff. Or you can call 866-40-BIBLE for more information. 866-40-BIBLE. You know, this year marks From His Heart's 20th year of broadcasting the good news on radio, TV, and online. 2 decades of proclaiming real truth, love, and hope to a lost and a dying world. Pastor Jeff was called by God to seek to reach more people than could fit in one local church, to build up the saints, to encourage them to be bold witnesses, and to bring some to a saving faith in Christ. It's an extension of his pulpit ministry in Texarkana, Texas. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it reminds us what Jesus told his disciples when he appeared to them after his resurrection. He said, Go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that appears to be an undeniable mandate to participate in reaching the world. Of course, we start with our family, our neighbors, our communities, but we don't stop there. We go to the nations. When you support From His Heart's efforts and other wonderful ministries as well, and of course this station to help broadcast to your community and around the world, you are being obedient to God's command. To thank you for supporting From His Heart this month, we'd like to say thank you right back by sending you Pastor Jeff's new 6-lesson series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. Your support truly means the world to us. We couldn't reach the world without it. To get your copy of More Than Conquerors, you can make a secure gift online at fromhisheart.org and request it there. Or you can call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. Thank you for being with us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting that you're sharing this ministry with others and that you'll be right back here next time for the next lesson from the series, Courageous, How God Shows Up When You Step Up. That's when Pastor Jeff will continue to share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is love. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.